podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, so we'll just jump straight into this episode by saying that Matt has let me down again. No surprises there. No, to be fair to him, he's been working really hard the last couple of weeks. So we're going to keep this farcel of the World Series going with Simon, who is in the Bahamas now. It sounds a little echoey over there, but that's because you're in the sunshine. How are you doing, Simon?
Very well, thanks, Chris. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm good. I'm gonna jump straight into a bit of a farcel over the world read through. We've got Kieran, who is a farcel over legend, and he says if Yatesy scores, I'm in Lake Geneva. So he's out near Lake Geneva there. That's pretty cool. Have you ever been out near there?
Lugano, pretty close. I wonder if that's colder than Chicago, yeah. Lake Michigan.
Yeah. Because Chief Ryan last week was saying he was gonna jump in there. We've got Jackson, all the way in San Diego. He had to miss the game because he was traveling to Boston overnight and he was racing the Boston Marathon. So big shout out to Jackson who ran in the Boston Marathon. That's pretty cool.
Did he wear a forest shirt for that?
I hope so. I hope he did. But we'll have to get him to write in and see if he did or not. We've got another Chris Pace, Forest fan since 1993 here. Used to go to the games as a kid and living in Newport Beach, California. Now and never miss a game on TV. That's pretty cool. Chris Page out in California. And Martin, another lad out in California, he's actually had to go home because he's visiting his dad, who used to be a season ticket holder for decades, but is too old to go now. Oh, he took me to my first game in 1977. He's been a Forest fan since 1960. That is pure class. Spray Family Reds, this is an Oklahoma Forest fan. Been in America for years and I miss Nottingham more than I can express. This is the first time I've been able to buy and have owned my current Forest shirt since when my granddad gave me one for my 13th birthday 30 years ago. This is all very nostalgic stuff and it's a Gibbs White jersey. Wow. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So big shout out to all of them. And NFFC Ohio are having people at DeRoy Brewing Company this weekend for the Everton game. How are you feeling? You're in Bahamas. What's the weather like? What are you doing? You're doing well.
Guess what the weather's like, Chris.
The weather is beautiful, I imagine.
It's the correct answer. Yeah, we're just about to get the summer rains, but right now it's sunny and windy and everything's pretty good. Yeah, not too bad.
I've been out there to the Bahamas. Obviously, I've visited you out there. Well, I actually went there with my wife for a holiday and then we met up with you. You picked us up from the airport, which was amazing. You find it difficult to watch the games. We spoke about this to you before. You're a Bahamas correspondent. You've been on a couple of times before. This weekend, are you going to get a chance to watch it, or is it a bit of a washout for you? You're working away, are you?
Yeah, I might get a chance to watch it, but it's a Sunday game, isn't it? What time is the kickoff? I can't quite remember. Is it like a 4 PM kickoff or something? Is it
Well, in terms of time zones for you, it'll be a different time zone. So 1:30 it's saying here, I think.
Oh yeah, so that's an early morning kickoff. So I may well get to follow some of that. Yeah, I mean, normally I'm always coaching. I'm a swim coach and I'm almost always coaching when the games are happening. So I have to just kind of just wait it out. Kind of like Brad Pitt in Moneyball, where he just goes to the gym and just waits and listens to the crowd noise and doesn't actually watch the game.
Almost more tense. Just I've done that before where I just keep checking the score. Okay. Well, either way, we're playing Everton this weekend. We'll do a preview of that a bit later. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, this week and maybe this season as a whole. Like, I just want to say it's been an absolute exhausting. Aren't you tired? I'm tired. I'm so tired of this season and everything that's gone with it, from, you know, sacking Cooper, whether you liked it or not. It was upsetting for a lot of the fan base. You know, the PSR stuff in January that eventually led to a 4-point deduction. We have an appeal coming up with that. It's just been a mishmash of hell at times, some horrible late losses, some crazy great wins. We've beaten Newcastle, Manuel, and then all of a sudden this week, which has been pretty horrific for a lot of fans and really important fans, fans that are, have been there through thick and thin, season ticket holders, the hike in prices, the timing of it is awful, the hike in general is awful, there's no feedback given. It's an absolute mess. And from the Bahamas, obviously it's different, or from Ireland where I am now, you don't feel the impact of it as much as the people in, who are going to the games week in, week out. But I tell you what, it's not great, is it? It's not cricket.
No, it's not good at all. I mean, I feel, obviously I've never been a season ticket holder. I used to go pretty regularly in the late 80s and early 90s, but I moved out here 20 years ago. So, you know, I have an emotional stake in this because I love the club and I look out for their results and I care about it and I tweet about it and I chat with you about it. All of that is important, but it's just not as important as somebody who pays their money and gets the season ticket and goes to the ground every other week. You know, those fans are more loyal than fans around the world. And, you know, we are still fans. It's really nice that Steve Cooper recognised us, you know, at the beginning of last season when he did. All of that. But I think really in this position, you have to stick behind the people that are showing up week in, week out. And you've got to try and do your best for them. I mean, I put out a tweet on Twitter on X a couple of days ago about how I don't really understand why there couldn't be some kind of mix where season ticket holders would have their season ticket price frozen and new season ticket holders would have to spend a lot more money. And I didn't really understand why something along those lines, the kind of means tested loyalty, if you like, couldn't happen. But I mean, I haven't really run the numbers, but it just seems to me that you've got to look after the guys that shout, the guys that do the tifos, the people that provide the atmosphere there and then. Of course, it's a bad move by the club. You know, pretty much since I've been going to Forest and since the late 80s, the club has been accused of just, you know, bad PR and bad timing and, you know, what is it? We're serious about promotion, are you? I mean, it's the latest in a long line of missteps by the management, the management was.
Not good, not good at all. And like, I think the one of the things that sort of stuck with me was I was having to listen or watch to some of the stuff that was going on the last couple of nights. And last night I was actually driving, my wife was in the car and she asked me, she said, Chris, like, could you just explain what's going on? Because I was like, obviously there was a lot in the press about it and I was trying to explain it to her. And I sat in the car and I said, I just explained, look, about the ticket prices, season tickets and how it affects people. And you know, she was like, okay, you're not explaining it very well, she was saying to me, but she goes in her Canadian accent. But she said, basically, if you break it down, Chris, you know, the one thing she said she loved the most about going to the Brighton game recently, an away game with me, was how accessible football was to everyone compared to most other sports that she would know. So, for example, baseball, basketball, specifically basketball, NFL, tickets are crazy. The prices in basketball is insane. And she said it ends up just being a bunch of suits walking around, you know, trying to show off.
Basketball, the capacity is small. It's like maybe 15,000 in a court, something like that. So, you know, it's not 70,000.
Not at all. But like, I suppose the point she's making is people got priced out pretty quickly. As soon as like that, you know, the Toronto Raptors became a thing in 1995. And as soon as they became a really big thing, the real fans who started off with them got priced out eventually. And it just made it kind of, in a way, boring, some of the atmosphere. And she said, if it's not that, then I don't know what you're doing, because the accessibility of football is what makes it beautiful. She said she loved the fact that she was going to the Brighton game. All people from different backgrounds and different classes are there. And that's, she was making the point that, like, if that's what they're doing and they're getting rid of that, then it's the worst decision ever. And that to me is what it feels like. You know, you're gentrifying tickets and gentrifying a stadium, and it's not, I just think it's horrendous. And yeah, look, many people have their various different opinions, and some people aren't as vocal as others, and I'm not a season ticket holder, so I don't understand what it's like. But listen, it's absolutely awful, and loads of people have spoke about it much more and better than I can. They're more eloquent with their words on other podcasts. They've all spoke about it, so we'll move on from it. But like, it's horrendous and really awful timing, and I'm glad Forest are making a stand.
Premier League is kind of like, it's kind of like the Brooklyn of sports. You know, it's getting massively gentrified. Everyone's moving in for the legendary atmosphere, and now there's no more atmosphere left because all the brownstones are occupied by Airbnb or whatever it is.
Yeah, no, I know. That's true, actually. We'll move off it, because otherwise people will switch off, because they've heard it all, and they've heard it better put than I can ever do. I'm a bit revolted by it all, to be honest. Let's get into, like, look, this season in general, it seems like a boring topic, but like, when I have you on, I have to take the opportunity to ask you about how you've been feeling in general about this season. And you may not have caught every single game, but you've tried your best. You've certainly probably watched highlights in the sun out there enjoying it. You were at Palace away the last game. You flew over for that, the last game of last season, which had this brilliant Waka Waka AA. And you had this brilliant, vibrant time. And it must have felt like heaven. And then you come into this season and you're plunged into a little bit of hell. I mean, how have you felt overall coming up into the season as we're going into the run-in for the last five games?
The only thing that's really giving me confidence is the fact that loads of pundits are saying, oh, Forest, they haven't yet to really catch fire. They'll be fine. You get that every week. People are saying that. I kind of have the feeling that we're like a baseball team that continually strikes out with bases loaded. You know, we do all the hard work, play really well, and then just get undone by an idiotic set piece. So it has been an extremely frustrating season. However, you know, didn't Nuno say last week that the set piece issue is easy to resolve? So no problem.
It's easy to resolve, yet we concede something like a crazy amount of percentage, 40% more set pieces than any other team, and Everton score, or are they the second most goal scoring set piece team in the league, maybe the most. It's not, look, everyone's going to be looking at that in terms of the story for this weekend. I just really hope that we have it in us to stay up. I think Luton have some really, you know, and by the way, Luton, I know people have this love in with Luton. They're creeping. We were doing our top 10 most hated teams on WhatsApp the other day between me, Matt, and Dr. Statsman Will, who comes on every now and again. I won't give it away, because we'll do it at the end of the season, but like, Luton were creeping up there for us. I don't know why they're annoying me so much, not just because they're hanging around, but just this sort of, they're playing the underdog and playing it. I'm thinking, hang on, Everton Forest, the underdogs, we're getting docked points here, literally, you know what I mean?
By the way, in my top 10 most hated teams, I'd have Bournemouth in 1-5 those positions.
Yeah, you'd love that, because Bournemouth actually arrived into a couple hours. Bournemouth and Brentford landed in there on most of ours. I think Statsman Will did an average of our most hated clubs, and Bournemouth were in there. They were in there. Yeah, they're just annoying me, and it's not like, if they stay up, they'll end up saying it was a huge achievement. And I know lots of people say, well, their team's worth absolutely nothing compared to every other team, and yeah, it's an achievement. But like, realistically, you got to look at it and go, if Forest and Everton, the two teams around them, are getting points deductions, they bloody well should stay up, or they should at least have a really big chance at doing it.
They are pretty bad though, Chris.
That's my point. But that's my point. They're bad. They're not a great team, and everyone's going to praise them when they stay up, and I'm going to be like, hang on a second. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, I just feel like maybe it's just that siege mentality. I feel like the media is always against Forest. Even last season, when we stayed up by miraculous events, having signed all those players, I just feel like they're always, always out to get us. And I'm really
not
hoping,
all the media.
Yeah, not all the media. Yeah,
I listened to Ned and Manuha on BBC the other day during one of the Champions League things, and I was listening to BBC Radio, and he was saying that you know, you got to remember that Forest and Everton are, you know, four or five points better than what the table suggests they are. You know, so they're actually much better than Luton are. That was his point, which is quite an interesting one. So even though even though Luton are like snapping it off, we're much better than they are. And I'm pretty confident we're going to stay up.
Wow. Okay, so you are confident we're going to stay up. Because like, to me, I'm like hanging by a thread, if I'm honest with you. I think that Luton have a running of games against teams that don't really care anymore, that most of them will be safe by the time they play Luton. Some people will say Everton aren't, but like, you know, I think Brentford this weekend might let us down, just like Bournemouth did last weekend. Two hateful clubs. But you do believe that we're going to stay up? Like, you
yeah, because I think that Luton are going to lose a lot.
So you think Luton will lose enough that we'll get enough results to stay up? The problem we have is we have three away games that are like winnable in terms of Sheffield United, Burnley and Everton, but we never win away. And then two home games that are tricky. Chelsea are suddenly coming into form. Man City will be very angry after losing the Champions League last night. Like, where are our points coming from? That's what I want to know.
It doesn't matter. As long as we get more points than Luton do, we stay up.
So wait, are you doing the Matt thing where you say that Luton could lose every game to the end of the season and so could Forest and we'll be fine kind of thing?
Yeah. I'm putting the Matt card on you.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love that.
Listen, the bottom, Matt, Chris, the bottom of the table is a very forgiving place to be. You know, you lose and you just kind of stay in the same place. It's kind of hard to go down. You win and suddenly you get like catapulted up the table. So I feel, look, let's be honest. It's been a really underwhelming season. It's been a very disappointing season. Signings haven't worked out. It's been interrupted. We've had points deductions. It's been a shambles, as you say. All we really need to do is make 17th place. And if that's on goal difference by one goal, it doesn't matter. We just have to stay in the league and then regroup next year when Sangare will be adjusted and everything will be fine.
I love your positivity. Thank God I brought you on today, because I feel like if Matt was here, it would be just a drowning. But this is, no, I love it. I absolutely love it. Right, so this weekend, Everton, like, let's get down to business in terms of Sean Dyche ball. And like, I don't know who's available and who's not. There's rumours that Calvert-Lewin might be injured, Branthwaite. There's lots of different things swirling around. But you know the way they play. It's going to be in the mud and... You know, if we can perform to the best of our ability, you've seen some of the goals we score in this year. You've seen some of the performance we put in. And if we can perform to the best of our ability and clear up any mistakes, I do think we can win the game. Gibbs White's going to be massive for us. Chris Wood's going to be massive for us in a game like this. I have one question for you before we go into a bit of like a team sheet and stuff. Do you think we can potentially, for one game in loads, not concede from a set piece against Everton?
Yes, I think we can not concede from a set piece. I have no stats or no tools for that. But yeah, sure. I believe that we can not concede from a set piece.
It's so frustrating, because I was trying to prove a point there the other day to Matt in the group, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to prove this point. So I look up, you know, you do sort of that confirmation bias or bias confirmation, whatever it's called, and you look up the stats to suit your agenda. And I was trying to do that. I was going to say, oh, maybe we can concede less corners. Like, maybe we can set up so that we can concede less corners and the probability goes down. I saw that we had 10 corners against Wolves and they had one and they scored from there. And it's just... It's just not good. And like, I'm just like, I'm trying to find every bit of logic that says we cannot concede from a set piece. And I'm longing for, you know, like, I just wish we could do what we did against Fulham and West Ham, where we kind of had really good control in both games and really good periods. I'm longing for that kind of game again, but faster, not every five or six games, you know, because otherwise we'll go down if we don't win in the next... You know, five. We need to win one or two. We need to win probably two at least in the next five, I think, to stay up. So in terms of setting up, would you just set up with the same team that he had sort of against Fulham and last weekend? Or would you twist with anyone? Would you pull? Because personally, I'd take Yates off at this stage. His form dipped a bit last weekend.
He'd be quite useful away from home, though, Yates. Just getting in Everton's faces and breaking it up, you know, doing all the unsung stuff. Stuff that nobody watches that's really important. I think I read a tweet from Forrest Boffin, actually, who was tweeting during the Everton-Chelsea game, and he said, if we go with two in midfield against these guys, we are in real trouble. So maybe it is worth a back three and trying to like stiffen up the midfield a little bit. I've given up trying to guess what our best formation is, or trying to second guess if we should just try and outscore Everton or not. I'd say... Yeah, maybe unchanged, maybe Bolly in for Omavodelli to add a little bit more presence in the air. But that didn't work very well with Felipe against Luton.
It didn't, and I think Bolly was playing that game as well. I think Bolly usually is pretty consistent when he comes in, so to have him and Murillo next to each other, I'm happy with. I think Omavodelli and Murillo have been decent. I think Omavodelli was a little weak for the goal. Him and Yates sort of... Yeah, they're a bit weak. Yates didn't hassle back.
He went the wrong way. He went wide of the striker of Cunha.
Yeah, and we made it look really simple, and like with a player who is the quality of Cunha, you can't do that. And it was disappointing. But that one mistake that Omavodelli made doesn't mean that I would necessarily drop him. I think that him and Murillo have been the most consistent, you know, partnership. Obviously, Bolly, if he's fit, I genuinely would probably bring him in. The midfield's been the biggest problem for us. And I think that like it might be time to do Danilo and Dominguez. And Dominguez has probably been, apart from Mangala, who was got sold in or loaned out in January and eventually probably be sold, Dominguez has probably been our best midfielder, I'd say, this year. And I just don't know why he's not getting a look in a start at all. Like, and I think Danilo and Dominguez would be the best pairing to start. I'd love Sangare to start and us to all kind of be surprised by it, but at the same time, he comes out up trumps. Like that West Ham game or Newcastle game away, he seems to play better away from home, you know? I do think there's a player in there, you know what I mean?
I think there definitely is. The midfield conundrum is tricky for me because I haven't really watched enough of Dominguez to make a decision about it. The trouble is, our front four are a real unit and they're very effective, and that means that you're one short in midfield. Yeah, so you just have to kind of, it's like a blanket, isn't it, which you pull around. At some point, either your head or your toes are going to be exposed. And I think when you've got two in midfield, you really need a bit of physicality in there. Now, if Dominguez can provide that with Danilo, then let's try it out. But I just feel that Yates gets his body around the pitch a lot more, and that sort of covers for the fact that we're really playing two in midfield. It's the price you pay for playing four up front, I guess.
Yes and no. I just I like, and I've heard a lot of people say different things about this, but I just think to beat Everton, don't play them at their own game. You know what I mean? Like, if we play the gritty away game against a team like Everton who love that kind of game, they'll be digging in all day long and it'll be a pain in the arse, and Deutsch will love that. But if we actually take the game to them, like really just take the game to them, we could really, like, look what Chelsea haven't been good this season. Now, I know they have some class players like Palmer, etc., but they haven't been good this season. But they just decided to play their game on Monday and they absolutely destroyed Everton. Like, and Everton they had a bit of a look in early on in the game, but like, I watched most of that game. They absolutely destroyed them. And I just feel like if we can do that, they'll drop their hands, because I think we have the energy, we have the pace, we have the skill up top to do it. But it's always comes down to the midfield or set-piece mistakes. The moment we shore up our goalkeeper, we then have problems in midfield or, problems in defence. And it's just, I don't know, I feel like we really have to go with them,
We had more than 50% possession against Wolves, right? And you're right, an early goal will obviously, get the crowd on their back, and that would be really helpful. But I'm a bit concerned about this Everton backlash that's coming up.
Yeah, there could be a backlash, you're right. I think Everton are almost as disillusioned as we are. Like, I talked to a couple of their fans there recently online, and like, they just feel like they're in a mess. And they've been dragged back, by that deduction. Then they won their appeal, and then they have another deduction, and they have another appeal on the way. And then they just, it's just a mess. Like, and
a takeover that's not really happening.
Yeah, well, funny enough, there's a gentleman that listens to this podcast who works for the company who might be taking over Everton. So their whole situation's a mess. A stadium that they're building, then they're going to still own Goodison Park, but like, the stadium's half built and it never got completed. Do you know what I mean? They are a bit of a mess, and their heads have been in a bit of a spin, but yet they're still looking like they're probably going to survive.
You're making me feel confident now.
Yeah, well, I just feel like they're there to be taken, you know what I mean? And I know that right now, obviously, there's a lot of toxicity, particularly in the last few days, based on the fact that the club have been absolutely ridiculous with their communication. They're a PR disaster. They've done this season ticket hike, which is ridiculous. And it's affecting the fan base, and that could bleed onto the pitch. And I just think, for the sake of I'm desperate for us to stay up anyway. And I'm desperate for us to beat out Luton, because I just want them to know that they're not good enough. And it really bothers me that they're taking this entitled stance where they believe they should be in the Premier League. But I don't know. I'm confident. Like, I think our best formation is the one that we've always played with Nuno. I think we roll the dice on Aubameyang and Murillo again. I think that we stick with Aina on the left and Neco Williams on the right back. And I think in the middle, that's where we make the switch up. And I think Danilo and Dominguez, and then you've the same top four that you're always going to have. The one question is, could Taiwo be back on the bench, or is that premature, do you think?
Well, I'm hearing things. That would be great. I'd have him. Yeah, I'd have Ribeiro over Origi, who hasn't done anything. So, if Taiwo comes back, that could really turbocharge at the end of our season. And, if Danilo time, right? It's whatever... Shocktober is in Forest football. It's May, it's April, it's Danilo. He's going to come on and score a bunch of goals.
Danilo and Gibbs White, both of them seem to come good at the end. Like last season, Gibbs White really came on strong as well. I loved his celebration against Wolves, by the way. Just straight in there, fingers in the air, right in front of their crowd, them giving him the fingers. I absolutely just loved it. I love that about Gibbs White. Just went for it. And then he shushed one of the Wolves players who'd been on top of him all game as he ran past him. It is Gibbs White and Danilo time. You mentioned Ribeiro there. I felt like Ribeiro, to be fair to him, he came on and had a cameo and he was bright. You know, maybe you need a bit of fearlessness in a game against Everton. Maybe you need someone who's not really thinking about the hostile atmosphere. He's just like young, free, go in there. Maybe he's the man to bring off the bench for Wood, not Origi. Score prediction for the game? What's your score prediction? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I'm always wrong on these things. So I'm going to go for an Everton win 2-1 with James Garner scoring the winner.
Hold on. So you're just saying that. You're saying that to be wrong. Is that right? Or like, have you been wrong that's the last few times you've been on? Is that why?
That's my insurance. That's my insurance prediction. Yeah, I thought the Fulham would beat us too.
Okay. And what's your that's your insurance. But what's your, if this wasn't a prediction, what would it be? If it was a positive one, what would it be? If it wasn't your real prediction?
You mean a kind of idealistic one? I think maybe we get a draw in a game that we should have won. That seems to be what we do this season.
I'm going to go
1-1 Murillo.
1-1 Murillo. Love it. We had a red hot take there. I'll read it out. It's a pretty good red hot take from one of the Elliot said, red hot take, Murillo keeps us up by scoring from 70 yards out. Now maybe this is the kind of game where Pickford's off his line, Murillo looks up, spots the keeper, launches a forward, and we win 1-0. And that's going to be my score prediction. I'm going to go with that red hot take.
That's a red hot take and a score prediction rolled into one.
Rolled into one from Elliot. A good red hot take would be Taibo comes back, comes off the bench, scores the winner against Everton, and then for the rest of the season scores in every single game. Because that's what he did last year in the last four games of the season.
That is a red hot take. Do you remember my last red hot take, Chris?
No.
Beginning of the season, after Gibbs White won the under-21 championship, my red hot take was that he takes the first couple of months of the season off to rest, and Scarpa comes on and does the business for Forest. That was my last red hot take.
Jesus. So your red hot takes aren't as good as your score predictions either, no?
Which are not that great either.
No. Right. Well, we better get out of here. Look, I'm sorry. I feel like I've almost talked over you the whole bloody time, but I'm just excited to see you because you're out in the Bahamas. And
that's how it is with you, man. It's all right. Yeah, we all understand that and it's all good.
Okay, you're doing a mat right now, okay? And I respect it to a degree. Do you want to give any shout-outs? Maybe give a shout-out to your son who's doing really, really well in the football. I see him on there.
Yeah, my son, he's a baller. Yeah, he's doing pretty well. He's in a team in the Bahamas there, and we went to Florida and we had a soccer tournament. And it went well. We were in like the bronze division. They were in kind of the weakest division, but we completely thrashed everyone. I think it was like 4-1, 5-0. And then we were 3-0 up in the final. And then thunderstorm stopped play, which is kind of a classic Fort Lauderdale football result. So we won the championship. He won the championship.
You're on the sideline.
Yeah. And then off the back of that, we got invited by Inter Miami to go play in their tournament. At the end of May, so he's going to be going back to that. So that's kind of exciting. And there's been a few scouts looking around, so we'll you know, watch this space to see how it goes.
Well, Leo's an absolute legend, and he's been on the podcast before, and he's
a podcast regular.
He's a podcast regular. He's been on from Bahamas, and a massive shout out. He's a massive Forest fan as well, and I've seen clips of him absolutely tearing it up all over the pitch. So huge shout out to him. And your wife.
One more shout out, actually.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
I was going to say your wife. I was going to say your wife wore the full Forest regalia last weekend. Had the Forest all over
Mumbai. She texted me the score.
Love it. Yeah. What an absolute legend.
My last shout out is to my godson Sevi and his dad Simon, who's the reason I'm a Forest man, and our friend Piers. We were a little group there. They have been season ticket holders in the past, and they live in London, and he does a lot of driving up and down the country. I'm trying to hook you guys up actually at a game, get you guys together in the Trent Navigation or maybe at an away game. But I want to give love and respect and shout out to Simon Hayes, who's the reason I'm a Forest fan.
Class, absolute class. And I definitely love to meet him, and Love the Forest story from abroad as well, and how you became a fan, and you know, you've done an episode on that before, so I didn't want to bore you again. I wouldn't bore the listeners, but I didn't want to bore you again. Thanks for filling in for Matt. He will be back next week. I know that people are probably like, why is Chris constantly doing this? But like, Matt will be back next week. We've done a couple of Forest All Over the World ones now with Chief.
You're
Chief
the Ryan Yates for the podcast. You just hold, you're controversial, but you hold it together. People don't understand all the great work that you do on the scene.
Thank you. Oh, Simon, that's so kind. This will be the end of the episode that they'll hear this. But you know what? Matt will come back and he'll say he's the Pierre Van Hooijdonk who scored loads of goals and then went on strike and left high and dry. And left under controversy, but he's not going to leave. I'm only joking. He'll be back next week. Thank you so much for filling in. Loved having you on. Sorry, I just had to, you know, it's pre-Everton. We're going to keep doing the Forest All Over the World stuff, and you know, you're an absolute star for doing it. So I appreciate it. You're a superstar. Thank you.
Thank you, mate. Have a great afternoon.
Will do. Follow us at NFFC All Over on Twitter or at Forest All Over on Instagram. Alternatively, you can go to forestallover.com. This is the Forest All Over the World podcast, or the Forest All Over podcast, or both.
Sports Social Podcast Network.